Just a quick FYI, Sticky Pickles deals with mature themes and is not recommended for children. All right, let's go.
Maria, are you ready?
I am ready, Kroll. Let's do this.
I'm ready too. Yay. Welcome to Sticky Pickles, everybody. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee-deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria, and this is Season 2, Episode 27 of Sticky Pickles, Tit for Tat and Artificial Harmony. Mm-hmm. And I'll not sing that a Jamiroquai song, because it's... Okay, so what's your sticky pickle?
Okay, so we have a couple, kind of. They're new. They've been on a few dates. Their names are Sandy and Spencer.
Okay.
And they're in their early 50s, both divorced, right? Though, and only Sandy has kids, but their kids are now in the 20s living from home, yada, yada, yada.
Okay, so not like underfoot. Gotcha.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. You know, she's not like been dating with any regularity. Because okay. When she does foray out into the dating world, according to her, she always seems to attract assholes.
Always. Yeah. Okay.
It's just.
Yeah. But she's coupled with Spencer?
Yeah. But Spencer seems quite nice. Like, they've been on a few dates, but, you know, they've been taking it slow, or, well, slower than Sandy would like, because she's, you know, horny. But they've been out for, like, a few coffees, right? They've gone for a walk. They've had ice cream. But tonight, Spencer is cooking Sandy dinner.
So, and he wants to cook her dinner, right?
We don't know. No, we don't okay, know, okay, right? Okay. But Sandy is like mega excited, let's be honest, right? Because someone's cooking her dinner. That doesn't happen very often.
That's nice.
Yeah, and plus, tonight could be the night where...
They seal the deal.
Well, even they haven't really done more than mouth pecking, right? So she's... Her big game is, well, I'm definitely getting a smooch out of this.
She's like, I want to know what I'm working with. Gotcha. Yeah.
Does he have a big, fat, lazy tongue or what?
This is a family show, Kroll.
I've been thinking we should put a little thing at the beginning just saying, not for kids.
Like, yeah, the show is not for children. Yeah, it's seriously not for children.
I know I put
children.
The explicit label, but I just think maybe I should just have a little.
If you're listening to us in your car, now's a great time to make sure to throw your children out the window.
Yeah. Just kidding. Yeah, is that? Yeah. Anyway, okay, so she's dying for a bit of action, right? With this new hottie of hers. So she pays extra attention to her ablutions, right? Tweezing this, scrubbing that, you know.
Her ablutions, yes, okay, yes.
Putting on some matching lingerie, you know, putting on a little face slap and wearing that special wrap dress, you know, which shows off her, well, her ample best assets, shall we call them.
But it nips her in at the waist. It's the reason it's a classic. Oh, I know it. Diane von Furstenberg.
Easy to remove.
Yes. Oh, indeed. Yes. Oh, yes. We all have our little secrets and strategies. It is known.
And, you know, she takes a look in the mirror. She's like, I'm as ready as I'll ever be. And she heads over. He opens the door, smiles, and, like, everything's, like, kind of lovely, right? There's music. Yeah. There's cooking smells. He offers her a drink. They sit down, chat about this and that.
The fire alarm goes off because it's burning on the stove. It's very meet cutie, except they've already met. Anyway, yes.
And then, Maria, and I want to know if you would ever, what would happen if someone said to you. So he says, what do you say to a game of truth or dare?
I'm intrigued.
Is that what you say to Mr. Spence if you're on his couch? If you twirl a little frond of hair on your finger?
Whose hair and what part of the body is that hair from? I'm intrigued. It, truth or dare does make me think that I'm back in grade school.
At first, this game goes pretty well. So it's like, eat 5 drops of hot sauce, or tell me if you could have just one superpower, what would it be?
Okay.
Or like, sing the national anthem, or tell me the most embarrassing story that ever happened to you, right?
Okay. This kind of stuff. All right.
But then, an hour in, Spencer asked the question that Sandy has been totally dreading, right?
Do you like me, yes or no? Just kidding.
And it was, how many people have you slept with?
Oh, come on.
And he, of course, you have to have a dare as well, right? And the dare that he coupled it with was show me your feet. And she hates her feet. Okay, just hates her feet. And there is
wear like socks all the time? Socks during sex.
She thinks she has Flintstone feet. She calls them Flintstone feet.
Says she's in her 50s, right? Like she might.
There's even people in their 20s that have to face the Flintstone feet scenario.
That's true. Yeah. I know. But, you know, as we get older, the feet thicken. It is known. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yes. So she's like, there's no way she's pulling out those things for him to inspect before they actually get down to it. Right. Like if anything's going to put him off, she's thinking they will be that.
Inspect the feet. Pardon me, ma'am. Mandatory foot inspection.
Well, he's basically asked for one, right?
Well, I mean, is he going to lick her toes or like what's going on?
I don't know. She's not a foot person. She's definitely not into feet. So she decides to answer the question of how many people she slept with. She answers 3.
Okay.
And he goes, 3? Ever? But you're like in your 50s. And he really can't believe it. He goes, you're practically a virgin. Like, I mean, when was the last time? Holy cow. Like, I expect it when I'm dating my younger girls, but not like someone your age.
Wait, okay, hold. How long have they been dating, the two of them?
Like, they've been on like 4 dates.
So they've been maybe seeing each other a month at most, right?
Yeah, like once a week type thing, yeah.
Wait, my younger girls. Is that you saying that or him saying that?
No, him saying that. And she's like, oh. And it stings, right? And she's annoyed.
Yeah, that's... No.
And then she says, you know, I'm a frickin' woman of the world. And she goes, okay, my turn. Eat a turd or tell me what is better about dating a woman decades younger than you.
Eat a turd. So either eat shit or die. Yeah, okay.
Wasn't that a nice comment what he said?
I'm feeling some hostility. I don't know. Right. Maybe I'm way off track here, but seems like things have gone
with?
A little.
Spencer or Sandy?
Come on. How can I be with Spencer? Like, about that was nice.
Right.
For Spencer.
Nothing about that was nice, right?
No.
So,
my younger girls. Oh, come on. My. It's actually not the younger girls, it's the my. Anywho.
So she asked that question. She's looking at him like daring him, right?
And he goes to the bathroom and he scoops a turd out.
I should have totally gone down that route.
Oh my God. It's always scatological lately. It's so gross.
This is where it all takes a turn that you don't really like, because he doesn't miss a beat. He closes his eyes and says, truth. And he goes, they're gorgeous, floaty titties. Ones unravaged by having kids or having fought gravity for decades.
Okay.
Now, how at this point would you react? You're sitting on this couch in your little wrap dress with your sexy, uncomfortable lingerie underneath, digging into your ass.
I kind of want to be like, at least he's honest. That's a weird reaction to have, but I'm like, you know, true. Doesn't ingratiate me to him at all, but I'm like, I can tell that is definitely an honest answer. Like, what is the appeal in dating somebody much younger than you? And if somebody goes, their youth and youthful beauty, putting it politely, of any gender, like, yeah, that's generally the appeal. Yes. A body not ravaged by time. I get it. Okay.
So would you laugh at this point and go, well, I love your honesty? Is that...
Me, personally, if I was in this situation... Yeah.
The sitch. Yeah.
How much do I like this guy?
Well, he's kind of hot. You need a seeing too.
Okay, I need a seeing too, but like I might go after tonight's seeing too.
You might go, don't speak.
Yeah, I'd be like, shut up, let's go upstairs, and after this, I'm done with you, maybe. Or like you're on thin ice, Buster. Like I don't see this having long term. You know, he's coming across like a creep.
There's a crossroad. There's a crossroads at this point because you're horny, but he is coming off as a bit of a douche. So you're kind of like, do I suffer the doucheness?
Can I respect myself if I do? Or am I going to be like, is he going to say something about my droopy floppy titties mid-coitus? or like, you can barely tell that they're deflated sacks in that bra you're wearing. Oh, thanks, hon. Yeah, you know, is it going to be like that? And then I'm just like, I hate myself.
Yeah.
If this guy is all about body, oddy, oddy, is he going to be any good in bed? I mean, there's also that. Like, this may be a bad lay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's kind of hedging her bets at the moment. She's kind of like, sounds a bit like that my asshole, typical asshole, but, you know.
But he's my asshole, damn it.
Well, no, I'm just going to try and navigate this. So she laughs. She decides to laugh. She goes, I'll have you know I have great boobs, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Prove it.
And he says, show me. I'll give you $100 if I agree.
Okay, what?
Oh, so Sandy is exactly like, fuck you. He's a fucking asshole. I always choose a fucking asshole, right? And she just loses her shit. And she goes, did you just intimate that I have zucchinis for boobs?
Zucchini boobs. Oh, no.
And his answer, and I'm fascinated by what your response would be to this, is, are we still playing truth or dare? Because I can be honest, but you might not like it.
Oh, no.
Told you I had you pegged.
Oh, my God. You definitely have me pegged because I'm just like, I love the honesty. I do. I dig it because I'm just, I respect somebody who's going to be really real because it lets me know what cards they're playing with. But it's like, because I do appreciate him being like, no bullshit. I'm basically a shallow motherfucker. And I'm telling you, I rate people. I'm not me personally, Maria, but this guy. Yeah, and it's like, okay, good to know that's what's going on. And if she can live with that, like, if she feels like she can stand up to the scrutiny or she wants to be with somebody that's shallow, go for it, honey. Me personally, I would have left already.
Yeah. She gets her stuff. She's with you. She gets her stuff and stomps towards the door, right?
Yeah.
And she's just like, fucking asshole in her head. And she's got her hand on the doorknob and she changes her mind and she turns around and she blasts him. In the way that Sandy blasts people, she goes, you are pond scum. Oh, and by the way, Spencer, your earlobes are way too big for your stupid fucking face. And then she sashays her ass out of there.
That's a very polite telling off, I have to say.
Well, you know.
She didn't mention his genitals or sexual prowess.
Well, she hasn't seen them.
Doesn't matter. You can intimate.
So she feels hot tears, right? But also a sense of pride because she put him in his place. She didn't put up with any of the BS.
Yeah.
And thank God she didn't sleep with him.
Get an STI from that dude. It's just bleh.
Now you're going to think the story's over, but it's almost, there's a little bit that's
missing.
Does he
come crawling back and apologize?
Well, she goes to bed and the next morning she wakes up feeling a big shit, right? She just feels like, ugh. But she grabs her phone, checks her phone, and she sees that Spencer posted something last night. On the socials, the walls, and it reads, quote, another near miss with a complete nut job. Fusies. Gents, take care out there. When chicks say be honest, avoid. And it's a full sound video clip of her walkout from his frickin' door cam shit. With her calling him pond scum and big earlobe stuff.
Oh my God.
Right? But there's none of the precedent. There's none of the zucchini boob stuff. None of that stuff is there, right? It just starts with her sashaying her ass out of there. So she's kind of now, like, so what do? You go on socials and go, what about what the fuck you said? Do you just ignore it?
No, I move on. Cut your losses, move on. You cannot, this is classic manipulation behavior that you do not try to compete. Okay, maybe I'm too conflict avoidant, because trust, a good fight is delicious. But when someone starts pulling that shit, especially in his own social media space, you're not going to win. You're going to have a tit for tat. I said, you said situation.
Tit for tat.
Tits for tat.
That's what I should have called the episode.
Yes, you should call it tits
okay,
for tat.
Okay, I'm changing the name right now.
Yes.
Can you just say right now, tit for tat and artificial harmony?
Okay. Tit for tat and artificial harmony.
Brilliant. I'm going to now grab it and put it in the beginning.
And
I'm going to keep this whole bit in there, too.
People get to see how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
You won't win in a back and forth
but
like that.
Fuck, right?
You want to put him in his place. So want to. But guarantee you, he'll come right back at you with something, and it'll just keep going, and you will never feel better. You might
smart.
Think you will, but you won't.
You're smart because she already went after his earlobes and he came back all the guns a-blazing.
Just don't bother. Just cut your losses and move on. This guy's a loser. Just leave him.
Yeah, and you know what, Sandy? You do attract fucking assholes. Like, go see a therapist.
Go see a therapist and figure out what is it about you.
Moving on, tell me about artificial harmony.
Yeah, artificial harmony. So do you know what artificial harmony is?
No.
Okay, so it is basically being conflict avoidant to the point of pretending everything's okay when everything is very clearly not okay.
Oh, that's 99% of my life. Yeah.
Well, in the context of this sticky pickle, we have Cora. She's in her late 30s. She's been dating a while. She's been trying to find, like, the one, so to speak.
Love. And,
yeah, yep. Like, she's not baby crazy or anything. She just would like a long-term partner. You know, it's nothing extraordinary. Yeah. Yep. And she's got a good group of good friends in similar situations. Like, they're all either single or they're dinks, like, you know, living the city life, I guess. And one of her good buddies is a guy named Dave. And Dave is very much like a keep the peace kind of guy. Like, he's a Mr. Artificial Harmony, if you want to think of it this way. And here,
okay.
So the conflict here is actually between Cora and Dave. However, the story starts with Cora dating a guy named Tim. And Tim's not super important, but you got to know that Cora and Tim.
Okay, we got to slow down for a second. Okay, so we got Cora is our character. She's friends with Dave.
Dave, one of her, in her group of friends, Dave is one of her friends that she's known for like 15, 20 years. Like a friend.
Okay, close friend. And she is dating this guy called Tim.
Tim. And she dated Tim for like 8 years. So very much part of everybody's life, like Tim and
right.
Dave. Tim and Dave were buddies. Everybody's been over each other's homes. Like, they all go out together.
Quasi-family.
Like, basically, yeah. At that point, when you've been in a long-term relationship that long, everybody knows your significant other really well, like your friends. So, you know, Cora and Tim dating basically throughout their 30s, each other. And unfortunately, after the 8 years of dating, it starts to sputter. And, you know, it's a 7-year itch, I guess.
Yes. Like, are you going to marry me? Are we having kids?
Like,
or what?
And she doesn't even want to necessarily get married. It's more just like, are we committed to each other? Like, are you sticking around or are you thinking you're going to go somewhere else? Because it's been like sort of milk toasty. And she suspects at a certain point that Tim's eye is wandering. And Tim has been sort of ingratiating himself with another friend in their friend circle named Anne. And Cora's like, you know, Tim and Anne seem to be getting rather buddy-buddy. And Tim swears up, down, and sideways there's nothing going on between.
Oh, so she asks him. She's like.
Yeah, she's like, dude, you're.
You like an Anne?
Yeah. You like an Anne. You're also kind of not telling me how you feel about love.
Are you into her zucchinis?
That's the new euphemism. We've got pickles and zucchinis. We're all about the long, elongated green things.
The Sexually Frustrated Podcast, brought to you by, who would be our sponsor exactly?
Oh God, probably a vibrator
company. Viagra. Yeah.
Or that too.
Yeah.
So Tim swears up, down, and sideways he has no interest in Anne. And yeah, Cora does ask Tim straight up, like, you're not really telling me if you want to commit to this relationship. And, you know, you seem much more interested in spending time with Anne than with me. And I'm starting to be like, this is weird. Just that suspicion alone, even though Tim is denying it, is enough, unfortunately, to split up Tim and Cora.
Yeah, you know what? I totally get that, though. If you're kind of already on shaky ground and then someone kind of pulls out and is kind of paying a lot of attention to someone else, like, it's basically you're kind of near the end. Like, I've seen this happen before.
It's the throes of a relationship.
It's the death throes of a relationship because you're scared. And so you make good friends with someone else. Like, I see how it happens.
Yeah. And then to Cora's zero surprise, not long after she and Tim break up, Tim is suddenly dating Anne. Surprise.
Uh-huh.
Her suspicions are confirmed. And because they're all part of the big friend group, Tim, Anne.
Oh, yes. She's buddies with Anne, too.
Oh, of course. They're part of the same friend group of, like, they've known each other.
And Anne didn't kind of go, hey, Cora, do you mind if I date Tim, even though it's been a
week? No, it was just like, we saw each other from across the charcuterie board last time we got cocktails Friday night. You know, it's just like, you know, it's... Those cornichons look delicious. So yeah, like, so you're surprised that the two of them hook up and Cora's sitting there going like, motherfucker.
Fuck you.
Like, I totally called that. And like, why couldn't you just be honest with me? But anyway, we're broken up. So who cares?
Okay.
Remember Dave at the beginning of this whole thing. Dave's part of the friend group. He's Mr. Mm. Artificial Harmony. It's killing him to see in his amazing friend group that Cora is mad at Tim and Anne. It's killing him.
Right. So she's not hanging out with Anne and Tim and anything. Cora's kind of just gone, I don't want to see you guys. And he is now stuck in the middle going, this is my crew and everyone's fighting.
Exactly. You're fucking up the dynamic. We had such a good thing going and you're fucking it up.
Yeah.
So
I'm Dave. I'm totally identifying with Dave right now.
I get where Dave's coming from. So Dave goes to Tim and Anne sometime and takes him aside, like just the three of them. And he goes, listen, we got to figure out how to mend fences on this. He's Mr. Peacekeeper. He's like, I got to figure out how to patch things up. Dave knows that Cora wants nothing to do with Tim and Anne. She's pissed at him. She's like, they're persona non grata to me as far as I'm concerned. Because basically, as far as I'm concerned, Tim cheated on me and they were not honest with me. And like, I'm sick of them.
Yeah, and he chose Anne over me, and we were together for 10 years, and it sucks ass.
Yeah,
totally sucks ass.
It sucks. Yeah, so Dave tells Anne and Tim, you know what? Cora is having a birthday coming up in a few weeks, and I'm invited to her birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she told me rather explicitly that the two of you are not...
But
I know if you guys showed up real apologetic and like maybe came with like a really nice gift or something.
Oh,
you know, I'm sure Cora would find it in her heart
God.
To forgive you.
No, she won't. Oh, no, she fucking won't, Dave. D-Dog Dave. I love this sticky pickle. Okay, I really hope they buy it. I hope Anne and Tim go, okay, Dave, that sounds like a brilliant idea because I can see that they would.
That is, in fact, exactly what they do. They want to bring the friend group back together, but they also, like, their friend group is a lot of people. It's like a dozen people. And, like, this has become an issue of the Cora versus Tim, like, where people are starting to take sides. And people are like, Tim, you fucked up. Like, they're starting to freeze him and Anne out. And they want back in.
Yeah, and Tim is probably going, look, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah, he is that kind of guy. He is that kind of guy. So they're like, you know what? We need to repair our image. We need to patch it up with Cora, and we need to do it in such a public way in front of all of our friends that they know that this is like we're good.
Yeah, it's good. So it's a PR campaign.
Yeah, they worked it. Yeah, it's a PR campaign. So Tim and Anne are like, you know, that's really good feedback, Dave, and I think we're gonna do that. So Dave gives them the details on Cora's birthday. Dave, of course, does not tell Cora that this is what he's planning, but he's like, you know what? I'm sure when they all see each other, like,
I really hope the gift is sensational.
Well, I mean, sensational in what way?
I don't know. I
How would exorbitantly expensive strike you?
Oh, okay. That's pretty. Okay, okay, yeah. Okay. I'm almost falling off my chair. I'm leaning forward and my wheels have gone back and I might fall on my butt any moment.
Oh my God. So it's Cora's birthday. By the way, it's her 40th birthday, I should mention.
Big birthday.
Big fucking birthday. She has rented out the back room at one of the nicest restaurants. Like, her and her friend group normally would only go there for like a prefix thing when they have like restaurant week. It's otherwise too pricey. So this is like, she sprung a lot of money on this. She's like, fuck it. It's my 40th. I'm treating my friends. Like, we're going to have like an amazing meal. It's not just
that amuse-bouche, people.
No, we're going the whole hog. Like, it's, I, you know, drinks are on me. Like, fuck the heartbreak. Like, I'm going to make sure my friends know that I love and treasure them, minus Tim and Anne, because fuck those people. So, inevitably, the drinks are flowing. Cora's feeling good. She's feeling loved. She notices that Dave kind of keeps glancing at the door, and she doesn't know why, but she's like, well, Dave's kind of weird, so whatever. Maybe he ordered, like, a stripper for my birthday, and he's going to bust through the door.
But we know what Dave's waiting for. We know he's waiting for Tim and Anne to show up. Okay. And he's excited, right?
So,
he's thinking this is going to knit everything together.
Oh, he's so psyched. He's so psyched.
Yep.
So, you know, they've had their dinner, they've had their drinks, and she sees through the double doors in the private room that there's like a faint glow.
Right.
Kind of walking towards the door, and she's like, oh, fuck, they're doing the cake and song thing. Even though I'm 40 goddamn years old, they're going to sing happy birthday
to me. In a restaurant. Exactly.
In a restaurant, but at least it's a private room, and it's just my friends, and I'm slosh, so whatever. It's fine. And she sees the cake glow coming towards the door, and she can't quite make out who's holding the cake. But then the doors open, and she sees very clearly it's Tim going, "Happy birthday." And then Anna's right next to him, and they're both singing happy birthday, holding
the
cake.
This is her ex of 10 years.
This is her ex of 10 years holding her birthday cake with his new girl, like, right next to him. Like, also, like, they have that really, like, "Oh, we're so glad to see you," and also, "Surprise!"
I imagine Dave, you know, like, looks like Pee-wee Herman right now, like, with glee.
He's so pleased. And he's standing up, he's like, "Hey, look who it is!" Yep. Like, all is forgiven. Cora is...
pissed.
Yeah, she's an adult, so she's not, like, throwing a cocktail glass at their face. She's sitting there, but stone-faced. Yep. Like, this is casting a pall.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cake comes over, and they place it down in front of her, and they finish singing, and they're like, "Happy birthday." She does the cake or whatever, blows out the candle, "Yeah, thank you." And then Anne starts clinking her glass, you know, the new girl. She goes, "You know, I know things haven't been great between us, Cora, and, like, I know it's been a little awkward, so Tim and I wanted to show how much we love you so much." And she gets something out from her bag, and it's, like, that distinctive teal color. And she's like, "We went to Tiffany's, and we got you this amazing diamond bracelet, and I know how much you love tennis bracelets, and we hope you'll enjoy it and wear it well into your 40s. Happy birthday!" Sorry. That voice is, like, really taxing.
I love this show so much. I love this show. I don't give a shit what anyone else thinks. I fucking love it.
What? Who doesn't like our show?
Fuck them. That's right. They have fat earlobes. So, that's what your problem is.
If you were Cora, what would you do in this moment?
Wow. Okay.
Do you need me to do the voice again?
No. Oh, my God. Honestly, think what would happen if I'd had a few drinks. Like, so am I sloshed?
It's your 40th. You just recently broke up with your guy of 10 years. You're decently sloshed.
This is, like, twice a year hammered.
And this is a good restaurant, so these cocktails are proper good. So, yeah. She's three cocktails in, and they're strong.
Yeah, so I think I would burst out laughing, like, but hysterically.
Because her voice is super funny.
No, the whole thing would kill me, and I would just go, "You guys have to leave. I can't handle it. This is too much. Dave, go with them. Dave, show them the door. Dave, go. That would be my cool move.
That is pretty cool, because it is cooler than what Cora does.
Oh, no!
Cora basically is like, "You were not invited." She's not doing the act. She's like, "I didn't invite either of you. Not only that, but I explicitly told everybody that you were not invited," because Anne and Tim are noticing that all of the friend groups, with the exception of Dave, are, like, glaring at them. Cora's looking around, and she's like, "Whose idea was it to invite you to? Because I didn't tell," like, it's not like she posted this information publicly. He's like, "Who invited you? Who told you I was going to be here?" And Dave stands up. He's like, "You know, I thought maybe it would be good to sort of mend some fences. And, you know, it's your birthday. Like, maybe we could just, you know, patch things up."
Artificial disharmony.
Yeah. Yes. He's like, "You know, we've known each other for so long. You know, I thought maybe if they showed some goodwill and if I kind of helped curry that along, that we could all, you know, be good friends again." And Cora's like, "You know what? Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you." And she grabs the Tiffany's thing and her cocktail. She starts storming towards the door, and she slams the Tiffany box in the trash and goes out the door.
Whoa.
And her friends follow her.
Dave fucked up yeah, huge,
like,
right?
Anne can take the box out of the trash and, like, just get a return. So it's not like she's out of the money.
I know. I think I would have made Dave eat the bracelet, right? Just to prove... I would have just said, "Dave, you want to make up? Ingest it, and then we'll all be friends. And then we'll talk." Because then it would be sucky for everybody, and Anne would be very concerned about Dave's bowel movements.
They're jewel encrusted. Oh, my God.
Sparkling poop. That's where we end today.
Again, with the poop. Every single time. Oh, my God.
week's Sticky Pickles.
If we made you smile, you know what to do. Subscribe and review.
And you can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And anything else you need, you can find it on stickypickles.com.
Bye! That voice, oh my God! It's like Janice from Friends times 1,000.
Bye!
Bye, everyone! Don't stop listening to us. She'll never do it again, I promise.
I will never do that voice again. I just had to do
it. No, she will. She probably will.
No. If I did that all the time, everybody would stop listening. So, like, you got to be careful about how you deploy them.
I'm stopping recording. You're welcome, everyone.